A new report in The Guardian highlights the troubles facing small-town radio stations around the country and what they mean for the communities they serve. It says there are two big factors at play, a lack of advertising dollars and big media companies with deep pockets. So a lot of stations are going away, along with the information that people tend not to get from other sources. And losing those stations can take away part of a community's identity. Dennis Denninger is a communications professor at Syracuse University and former longtime executive at ESPN. His first media job was at a small AM radio station in Hornell, New York. Dennis, thanks a lot for joining us today.
It's my pleasure.
Well, take us back to that first media job at a small station in New York. What was that station like?
Well, it was a 1 kilowatt daytimer, which meant that in the wintertime, you went off the air at 4:30 because you had to go off at sunset to make room for the higher power stations that would come on in larger communities around. And I started working there when I was a senior in high school. I would walk in and walk to the radio station and gather the morning news. I would check with the local police, check to see what was going on, make some phone calls, and then put together some newscasts with coupled that with what I got on the UPI teletype. And I did the news until about 8:30 in the morning, and then I walked to school.
Is that station still around?
Yes, they are. I don't live in that area. However, they do some local programming, but most of their programming they get from other places.
Now, talk about the role of these small stations, whether they run all day or not, for small rural communities. What kind of function do they play there?
Well, as with any part of the media, they have this role of providing you with information. And what are your neighbors doing? What is affecting the schools that your kids go to? Did the teacher that you had 20 years ago just pass away? We used to actually do obituaries that we read on the radio station so that people would know who had passed away and when calling hours were, et cetera, et cetera. But you know what? It's also providing people with the kind of entertainment that they've gotten used to and with information about government services that are available to people and what your local retailers are doing. Advertising is a really important part of information for how do we get the stuff that we need to do the things we do.
We've heard a lot about the decline of local newspapers and consolidation in that industry. What have been the trends when it comes to radio stations, especially in smaller towns?
Well, a huge turning point was in 1996. The Telecommunications Act virtually eliminated the old FCC rules as to how many stations an individual company, any company could own. Back before 1996, nobody could own more than 40 radio stations across the United States. And now iHeart has 850 radio stations in 150 different radio markets. And Cumulus, for example, has 441 stations in 90 markets. And what they do is they set up remote service agreements in that you could be getting your information piped in, your programming piped in from Albany, and you got a little station in Hornell or your little station in Skaneateles, New York, or any of these little places, and you're not going to get any local news virtually. You're going to get all of it just entertainment and music programming fed in from another city, and that cuts down on what you know about where you live.
I understand also that in some cases, if you're in a small town near a big market, well, one of those, the Clear Channel or iHeartRadio, might be really interested in your frequency, buying it out so they can use it in that bigger market. Is that something that's happening?
That happens a lot. That happens a lot. And because if you can reach people in a larger metro area with a little station, I teach at Syracuse, and say you can buy up a little station in Oswego, New York, or something that is still can be heard in Syracuse. Well, you can get that license. You can buy that station for a lower price and then start selling advertising to the people in Syracuse, the retailers, the advertisers in Syracuse. And what does that do? That drives rates up and puts the local folks who would want to share their information with you. It prevents them from having a voice.
Talking to Dennis Denninger, communications professor at Syracuse University, about the decline of smaller town and rural radio stations around the country and the gaps that leaves behind. Dennis, is there anything you see at the local level starting to fill the void left by these radio stations and also by local newspapers?
Well, you know, there are community forums, there are services that are available online, and you can there are a variety of these different little news services. But they're in the menu of all of the rest of the services that you can get online. And if you're going to the menu and you would prefer to watch YouTube videos that will crack you up and that you'll enjoy, well, then, you know, maybe you select that 9 out of 10 times from the menu that also has the community news. So I don't know. It just kind of it lumps everything together. And the more that it's part of this mass media big tech menu, the less there is of a local presence. And that really results in a cultural and informational deficit for a lot of people.
Do you see a need for changes in regulation or telecommunications laws and so forth that might create more of an open door for these kind of services?
Well, it's interesting. The House Judiciary Committee just this week started some hearings on the influence of big tech in the media. And there's a bill that's being proposed called the Journalism Competition and Preservation Act. It's being sponsored in the House by a Republican and a Democratic sponsor. And the idea there is to give publishers an antitrust exemption so that they could work together the way that big tech works together to provide you Facebook in communities all around the world, or any of the other services, Google and all the rest. And those companies are making huge dollars off of the services that used to be provided by locals. And they're also selling advertising in local news, which means advertising dollars are going away from the local publishers. So that's specifically targeted at publishers. But I would not be surprised that if after the hearings are completed, that there is some kind of consideration given to broadcast as well, because these little radio stations are just, you know, they're going out of business. And the interesting thing, Rob, is that people haven't stopped listening to the radio, whereby a lot of people have stopped getting a local newspaper. They've stopped reading newspapers. They'll go online for their information. But the Nielsen total audience report that they do quarterly, the most recent one shows that 92% of American adults who are 18 or over are listening to radio during the week, and they're averaging an hour and 45 minutes a day, which is on the way to work, which is listening at work. But if what you're listening to is devoid of local information, then you're missing out.
Do you see exceptions? Do you see better cases where a small town radio station has managed to hang on and maybe thrive despite all the headwinds you've described?
Yes. You know, there are stations that become part of the fabric of a community, and through the force of their context, their connections with the local businesses over a period of years, through the force of dynamic personalities, those kinds of things help drive success greater than other places that have more of a turnover, that have new businesses coming in with different ways of marketing their products that don't include local radio. So there are success stories. I'm not foolish enough to think that things are going to go back in time, but if there was an opportunity for the encouragement of greater local ownership as opposed to mass ownership, where there are basically about 10 firms that control over 90% of the radio broadcast media in the United States. And, you know, are you confident that those people, wherever they're headquartered, have your best interest at heart?
Very briefly, Dennis, we see declining trust in media. Do you think people would trust the media more if it was not just, you know, somebody in New York, but Dennis, the high school kid down the street on the air?
Yeah, you know, because then there's accountability there, and you're present in the community, and there's a way to contact you. Sadly, a lot of our life has become connected to distant networks. You use your smartphone to connect with all around the world, but you might bump into somebody that if you looked up and chatted with them, you might learn something.
We'll leave it there. Dennis, thanks a lot for joining us today.
A pleasure.
That's Dennis Denninger, communications professor at Syracuse University. He worked at a small AM radio station in New York State early in his media career. We talked to him about a decline in the number of rural radio stations in the United States and the information and community gap that can be left when those stations shut down. If you want to give a shout out to your local rural station, tweet us at Central Time WPR.